Hello, everyone, and welcome to Charlotte View. I'm your presenter, Daniel, and I'm here with your host, Claudia Pareco. It is time for our show, Living Enlightened with Life Coach Nina Bingham. She is an author, life coach, and clinical hypnotherapist. She is one of our featured innovative, wholehearted, and inspiring thought leaders that are changing the world from inside out. Throughout our high-ranked shows, you and your loved ones will experience an influx of inspiration, information, and love in a new and profound way. Just tune in, live or on demand, and share, share, share. During her live shows, Living Enlightened with Life Coach Nina Bingham, she will take calls to answer the most pressing questions, problems, or challenges from our listeners, and do some coaching on fascinating and life-changing subjects. The Living Enlightened Show is intended to bring free online life coaching, personal support, and clinical hypnotherapy topics to the general public, including grief recovery, anxiety and panic, depression, eating disorders, OCD, addiction recovery, couples concerns, and other mental health-related issues. Introducing Take My Call. Tired of waiting in the queue and not getting in? For only $20, jump the long list of callers, and we take your call. For more information, visit our website, charlotteview.net. And look under monthly shows. Make sure to choose Nina Bingham from the options. What Nina Bingham has learned about love and forgiveness in her own personal life changed her life forever. She knows that she can share this knowledge with you, so you can change your life too. Our shows are sponsored by Spirit Connections with Tina Marie Heckman, Living Enlightened by Life Coach Nina Bingham, Ann Carter Medium, and The Light Retreat in Charlotte. Now, enjoy the episode of the day.
Everybody to another Charlotte View show, and today is day number 2 of the book Once the Storm is Over by Nina Bingham. So it was launched yesterday, and we're going to talk a little bit about why you should go and get your copy now. And I'm so happy to have Nina Bingham here, because Nina knows that peer support can be an important addition to the help you receive from professional mental health providers. But this show is meant to be a valuable resource. These episodes, led by Life Coach Nina, are designed to bring together people with similar life circumstances, mental health conditions, and professionals in the mental health area. Every month, tune in your warm line with Nina Bingham. And now let's bring Nina to the show. Good morning, Nina. How are you?
Hi, Claudia. I'm super fantastic today. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited. We have been sharing so much posts here and there on the internet because of your book, and I'm just sharing your excitement. It has been awesome. I see you everywhere.
Yeah, the response is awesome, and I just want to take a minute and thank everybody who joined me on my Facebook launch party yesterday, and everybody who's spreading the word about my fifth book, Once the Storm is Over, From Grieving to Healing After the Suicide of My Daughter. So it's so fantastic to know that people who are grieving and that people who are suicide survivors, people who are dealing with depression, are going to, you know, be encouraged and feel like they're not alone. So I'm very excited that the book is now out.
Yeah, and you know, and I thank you, Nina, because going through the experience that you went and still having the courage of putting these words out, it is such a gift that you're leaving to humanity, that I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Claudia. Thanks very much. It feels to me like it's something that I have to do. it's kind of become a calling for me, suicide prevention and being an advocate for suicide prevention. So really excited to share the book, and I hope that listeners will at least go to the book website and take a look at the book trailer that's there. It's very moving, and hear you know, some of the professional reviews on it. It's gotten outstanding reviews, and so I'm just going to give the book website link now. It's www.oncethestormisover.com. Or you can also find the book in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com.
Great. And, you know, this is a book for anyone that is going through grief of any kind. It's not only for suicide, but your calling is to prevent suicide in teenagers primarily. But we see that it's, I was talking to you the other day. I even sent you a Facebook link where even Facebook is now adding a tool that it will be used for teenagers on Facebook. But it's like more and more cases that we are seeing in America, and it's alarming. Do you feel the same, that numbers are rising?
Yeah, the numbers are rising, and it is alarming. And I think all of us need to do whatever we can. We all need to do our part to prevent this from continuing. The stats, real quick, are in the United States alone. We're not talking worldwide. We're just saying in the United States, every 13.3 minutes, someone takes their lives. And a lot of those people who are taking their own lives are, unfortunately, are teens and young adults. And so it's just a growing need around the world. And it's actually the number one cause of accidental death for Americans. It surpassed car accidents for the first time in 2012. So unfortunately, we are seeing a big rise in suicide.
That's a big wave that the universe is calling our attention, right?
I believe so, and that's why I say I hope that everybody does their part, whether that's simply, to get this book and read it and maybe pass it along to somebody that you know has lost a loved one and needs it, or someone, especially if they've lost someone to suicide, or just educate yourself a little bit on, depression and suicide, because more than likely your life somehow is going to be touched in some way by this issue.
And you mentioned that those numbers that we just mentioned, they are numbers in the U.S., in America, but the response that you have had has been worldwide. Even you have been invited to talk shows everywhere. And I am so happy to have a broadcaster, a fellow broadcaster here with us, that she's calling all the way from Nigeria, Africa. And her name is Alex Okorohi. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and she's the host of the Naked Talk. But tell us a little bit about her before we bring her on.
Nina. Yeah, I'm really excited that Alex is with us, my special guest, all the way from Nigeria. So I'm going to ask that if there's a little bit of a delay when she's speaking, I hope that our audience will be patient with us and bear with us, because there might be a little bit of a delay. She's calling all the way from Africa. But I want to tell you a little bit about Alex. She's done so many things, but the reason I wanted her to come on and share is that Alex is one of the most positive, genuinely positive people that I've ever met. She's an inspiration to me. She's done so much with her life, and she's overcome so much. And so I just thought that Alex was the absolute perfect person for this show today. And I've asked her to share from her life, So I'm going to, a little later, I want to talk a little bit about what research has to say about why positivity is so important to us. But then after that, I'm going to share a little more about Alex and all the things she's accomplished.
So is it time for Alex to come on?
No, actually, I was just going to share a few points, Claudia, about remaining positive, just kind of what research has to say about it and why it's important that we do. It's important to our physical health. It's important to our mental health. So I just kind of wanted to share those a few things and then a few thoughts, and then we'll have Alex on.
Okay, and why don't you say, probably that's what you're going to do, but what does positive mean? What does being positive even mean? Is it just laughing?
Well, I think laughter and humor is definitely part of being a positive person, but research kind of says that when we experience positive emotions, that it's really important that we do. It's important that we experience more positive emotions than negative emotions. So when I say that, what I mean is there's something called a 3-to-1 positive ratio and in psychology. Okay, so let me explain that. It just means that in order to be the healthiest and happiest that we can possibly be, that we should have a 3-to-1 ratio. So for every one negative experience, we should be having 3 happy experiences that outweighs the negative. And that if we can do enough things to surround ourselves with positive people and to think more positively and have more of these positive experiences, cultivate positive experiences in our lives, then we're going to be happy overall. But here's what's interesting, Claudia, is that 80% of Americans report, so the majority of Americans report that they're falling short of that 3-to-1 positive ratio. And it's important that we remain positive because negative emotions are harmful to the mind and they're harmful to the body. And so, like long-term stress, over a long period of time, fear, long-term fear, can actually manifest in illnesses, like a mental illness, like depression and anxiety, and even physical illnesses like heart disease and stroke and diabetes and high blood pressure, insomnia, and for some people, addictions, if they're under enough stress. So staying focused on the positive, having a positive attitude is really crucial to our long-term health and happiness. And so I just wanted to give a couple of keys here to the listeners to unlock greater positivity in their life.
And where are those?
Okay. So first off, is just I'm going to give you a couple of keys here, and then we're going to move on, is first off, what's important for us to develop more positive attitude is a sense of engagement. So being fully invested, in other words, having a passion for something, for your work, for a leisure activity or a hobby, just being passionate is key to our happiness. So whatever makes you feel more vital, more alive, we want to do more of. And I want to say, though, sometimes it's the challenges in our lives that require us to grow that can actually create our passion. So, for example, I was trained as a counselor. I never imagined in a million years that I would be public speaking and that I would be an author. I never imagined that. But now that I am, I'm passionate about it. And so the challenges in my life when my daughter passed 2.5 years ago, when she took her own life, that challenge, because I tried to make something positive of it, has created in me a passion for suicide prevention. So sometimes it's even the challenges in our life which require us to grow, and then that growth creates a passion in us. So let me just share a couple more things. The second factor of being a more positive person is optimism. So believing, regardless of the circumstances, that good things are coming to us, that good things are going to happen, and that we're in control of our lives. Being optimistic that we can change and that we can work through the roadblocks that are presented to us. This is a factor that I'm actually being tested in right now, Claudia, because I'm changing my focus of my career from counseling to being a suicide advocate and a speaker. And it's nothing that I've ever done before. So, of course, my belief in myself right now is being challenged. And so, you know, I'm having to really work on keeping a positive attitude as I change the focus of my career. The third key is having a supportive network of friends and family around you. So cultivating a positive environment, surrounding yourself with positive-minded people. And I also might want to add leaving behind those people who have negative voices, you know, the people who are dragging you down. If you can't, and if you can't leave a person out of your life, sometimes that's not possible, is it? So sometimes it's just you have to limit the amount of exposure you have to the negativity that you listen to. You know, for example, this isn't like I can't watch the news all the time because it's mainly negative focused. And so finding positive people and spending time with them is really important. And then the last key here, fourth key, is just making healthier choices for our lives. So choosing healthy behaviors like exercise and eating a balanced diet, avoiding excessive alcohol, avoiding overeating, making healthier choices leads to a stronger self-image and increased confidence. So this is also an area that I'm focused on improving right now, eating more healthfully and increasing my exercise. So there you have it. That's my just four quick keys to bringing the power of positivity into your life.
Nina, that sounds great. I had a comment from Nuri, and she says, you know, everything around me doesn't, I see no passion around anything that I'm doing, living at, or with the people I'm with. How do I change that?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, sometimes it's not about waiting for a calling in life to find you. Sometimes it's taking the circumstances in our lives and turning them around so that we create a calling for ourselves, or we create something out of it that we can become passionate about. It's kind of like looking at the circumstances and saying, okay, the glass looks half empty. How can I take this and make it into something, you know, where I can say the glass is now half full? And sometimes it's up to us. It's like we can't just wait around for life to bring us, you know, positive people and positive circumstances. Sometimes we actually have to create those for ourselves. And that's not always easy, you know. Sometimes it's hard to find the good in things, but I think we have to start looking for it if we're going to, you know, if we're going to create, you know, lemon out of lemonade, as they say.
I read somewhere, Nina, and let me know what you think about that, that sometimes to get yourself out of feeling stuck or without passion is just to enroll yourself into whatever comes to your attention. Like, don't even think about it. Someone tells you that there's this cause, let's go here, or whatever it is, just to say yes to that, and that immediately changes everything in your life because you said yes to that moment.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. That's a super important concept that you just brought here, Claudia, is that it is an attitude, and sometimes we have to make attitude adjustments to things that happen in life. And sometimes, you know, just being in resistance, just resisting what is, right? We all tend to do that. We tend to resist what is, but if we're just simply in the moment and we say yes more often than no to the circumstances, even if the circumstances are not ideal for us, it can often shift our perspective out of the negative and more into positive thinking.
And now you brought someone you have described her as the most positive person that you have met. And you said she has like a formula, or she can help us out with positivity. Do you want to bring Alex now with us?
I would love to.
Alex, welcome to Charlotte View.
Hi. Hi, Claudia. Hi, Nina. Can you both hear me? It's nice to be on the show. Hello, can you hear me?
Welcome. Welcome, Alex. I'm glad we can hear you. So today's theme is the power of positivity, and I asked you to be my special guest because you are inspirational, Alex. You are cheerful, you are upbeat, you are lively, you are joyful, and you're consistently positive, and so I'm hoping that you're going to share some secrets of positivity with us, and just so our audience knows, I want to tell them a little bit about you, a little more about you.
Okay.
Not only, Alex, are you the radio show host of The Naked Talk Show, but you're also an author of a book called The Naked Experience, which I love the title of that. And you're an actress on TV reality shows, and you've been featured on over 8 movies, which I didn't know, and even as 6 TV soap operas. So that's fantastic, Alex. You're also a screenwriter, and I didn't know that, for a 2009 movie, State of the Heart, which was nominated at the African Movie Academy Awards. So, wow, you're just wow, and I've always known you to be genuinely happy and sincerely caring. You know, sometimes people just pretend, you know, they're good at pretending they're positive and just slapping a smile on your face, but you are genuinely and a genuine and sincerely positive person, and I kind of think about you as an expert in the art of positivity, so I'm thrilled you're here. And if you'd like to find Alex on the web for some of her positive juju, how can the listeners find you on the web, Alex?
Well, they can go to my blog. I share some of my thoughts on my blog. It's www.alexokoroji.net. They can find some of my blog posts. I write quite a lot of things about my... I couldn't share my naked thoughts. First of all, Nina, let me say congratulations on your book, the release, the launch of your book, Once the Storm is Over. I've been waiting for Match First to come, and I'm so glad the book is finally out, and I can't wait to get a copy of my own book. And a lot of people are excited here in Nigeria, to be honest, because I think we've been following the story. We know how this book came to be, and we're just excited that you're going to use this piece of work to bless quite a lot of people. So I'm really happy to be on the show with you, with Butch, you and Claudia, and everyone else listening.
Thank you. Gosh, thanks, Alex. Thank you. Okay, so you shared a little bit about how the listeners can get a hold of you, and you know, you told me that in Africa, some people call you the queen of naked expression, which I love. So you're kind of a public personality there, and I know that living in the spotlight, so to speak, isn't an easy task, and yet you have remained buoyant, and your enthusiasm is really contagious, and I kind of wanted to know and pick your brain a little bit this morning how you manage the challenges that come with being in the public eye. You know, because sometimes being in the public eye includes negative stories in the press. So I just wondered if you could start out by sharing with us a little bit about how you handle the challenge of being in the spotlight like this.
Okay, Nina, first of all, I'm going to let you know that it's not a very easy thing to do. I've never always been this positive. There was a time when I thought I was, you know, I was very moody, very antagonistic towards people. I was pretty much a pessimist, you know, because you're out there, your entire life is out there. People are writing stuff about you. They think they know you, but they don't know you. You know, they're always sharing little funny stories, some good, some not so good, some, you know, just a figment of someone's imagination. But you realize that for every time that you're moody, for every time that you're frustrated and upset, you're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. A lot of that pain, you know, is geared towards you. And so I had to find a way to just tap inside myself and become my own healer and save myself. Because it's really difficult for you to, you know, go deal with life feeling like everything's going to go wrong, or it's your fault that things aren't right, or, you know, so you have to find a way to decide that you have to only have positive thoughts, because if you have negative thoughts, then you have negative outcome, negative results, and if you have positive thoughts, then you tend to push yourself towards achieving only positive things. Now, for being in the media, it's very difficult, especially for someone like me, because I not only became, and I actually grew up in the public eye. My father used to be quite a famous Nigerian musician. He used to be a singer. And so it's pretty not new, you know, having your family out there in the media, people writing about your father, you know, and mostly very good, but then, of course, you know, there are certain people who, not everybody's going to like what you do. You know, there are people who are definitely going to kick against your choices or your decisions and all of that, and that takes a toll on you. But what I realized is that the first thing I needed to do was be real with myself. Which is where the naked, you know, the brand Naked came from, was me deciding that I was going to be honest with myself and I was going to speak the truth, even if my voice is going to hurt. And I was going to tell myself, okay, this is what I want. I realize that happiness is not necessarily a destination, but a journey. And I was just going to enjoy being here, enjoy being alive, enjoy just going through whatever it is that I go through, whether there are challenges or obstacles or anything. And, you know, I just didn't want to have wrinkles on my face. So I realized that, you know, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And I don't lose anything by being positive and optimistic about life. So really, you know, I stopped listening and paying attention to what the media, to what people say or what people write, whether it's positive or negative. I try not to take it so seriously because even if they say a lot of positive things about you, they also put a lot of pressure on you. So you're being put on a pedestal. And there's quite a bit of the standards are so high that you have to meet up, and you really don't want to disappoint people. So I realized that it became easier for me to, first of all, demystify myself before people. I started sharing my blog by saying, you know what, Alex Okoroji is not perfect. I make wrong choices. I make mistakes. My life isn't as perfect as you guys think. I'm not as beautiful as you think. I have issues, but you know what? It's fine because I'm no longer working towards perfection. I am now working towards excellence. So people started understanding that it was okay for them to just be, you know, if Alex can be who she is and reveal so much about herself, then it's okay for you to be naked and for you to be vulnerable and for you to be open. And people just, there's some beauty in the floor. So people started looking at it and said, okay, she's always bright, she's always funny, she's always happy, she's always, you know, maybe that's not a bad outlook to have on life. So I think basically that's how I've tried dealing with the press and, you know, negativity around me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's beautiful what you just said, and I want to highlight something that you said is that you can't expect everybody is going to approve of us all the time. You know, I've heard it said, even if you're the juiciest peach in the world, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like peaches.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
So, you know, I think that we can't, yeah, so we can't expect everybody to approve of us all the time. And I think also, you know, you said something really powerful there in saying that you're working towards, I think what you said is you're working towards, not towards perfection, but you're working towards excellence, is what you said.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think that sometimes, you know, if we're really setting ourselves up for failure if we try to make ourselves out as perfect. And so
true.
You said demystifying yourself, you know, that with the public, that you're really trying to be real with the public and demystify yourself and not be a perfect person. I think that's probably very key to your listeners and your viewers feeling like they can relate to you, don't you think? I think when we demystify ourselves, when we're just human beings, I think it makes it easier for other people to relate to us and want to get to know us.
Yes, Nina, that's very true because, you know, sometimes, especially when you're in the public, you're a public figure, people assume that, you know, you're this perfect person, you're unaccessible, people can't reach you, you're larger than life and all of that. And they forget that you're just human like them. You go through the same challenges, obstacles, you're trying to go through life and probably even find yourself. Now, I remember one particular scenario when I, you know, my marriage failed, you know. I did go through separation and divorce. And it was amazing news. It was big news, you know, all over the media because everyone is blogging about this and talking about it. Oh, Alex Okorojee, you know, get separated. Oh, she leaves. And you find out, you ask yourself, you're not the first person who's going to go through a separation or divorce. Why is my own situation such a big deal, right? Other people go through the same challenge and obstacles and they get to deal with it privately. But because you're out there, people are talking about it and all of a sudden you're supposed to be this holy grail for, you know, you're supposed to be the grill of holy matrimony or something like that. And I'm trying to say to people, hey, look, I have my own issues. I have my own, you know, private life. I deal with some of these things. But maybe it's best, maybe the best way I can let you know that I'm one of you is by sharing some of the things that I went through and how I had to deal with those things.
Mm-hmm.
So my life isn't perfect. It's not, oh, I'm going to go from being separated to finding some other man waiting for me, you know, at the next stop. I'm going to have to deal with what, you know, the struggles of having to raise a child by myself as a single mother now who's separated. I'm also trying to deal with the changes, both physically, emotionally, psychologically. And unfortunately, in Africa, we don't really have the culture where people actually sit before a shrink or before a psychologist or a mental health specialist to sort of take you through that journey or, you know, talk you through all of that or all of the pain that you're going through. We sometimes have to just find a way to suppress it and act like it never happened and just, you know, keep things. And what happens usually when you keep storing a lot of negative issues or you don't go past or get through some of the challenges and struggles, that you become a negative person. You start to see people, you know, in a negative way. You're half the time frustrated, you're upset, you're angered. You know, it's all about, you know, everyone is at fault. And, you know, so I realized that for me, I was going to find my own personal strategy of dealing with my own struggles by sharing it with the public. That way they see me as one of them. So I demystify myself and say, show you, I'm not perfect. Oh, did you have a fight with your spouse the other day? Oh, well, that's me. You know, don't you feel like waking up to go to work? Oh, well, that's me. You know, I pretty much like you. But then I have to now find a way to use my own story to empower you and motivates you to become a better version or even find, you know, some solution within yourself. So, yes, Mina, I agree with you. You know, mm-hmm. having to demystify yourself in front of people also shows that, you know, you're one of them, and pretty much, yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. So I want to rewind to something you said. You shared that you went through a divorce and that you were a single mom. And and at the same time, I've heard you say that, you know, in the past, in your broadcasts, that you're always on the lookout for the positive takeout from the situation. So what I want to ask is, what do we need to do to find the optimistic viewpoint in a negative situation? Like, how have you dealt with less than positive circumstances in your own life, Alex?
Okay, for me, okay, here's how I see. You know, I think I pretty much, you know, a lot of people look at the results. They have a plan, they have a vision, they look at the end result. For me, I look at the journey. I think for every day that I survive, you know, for every day that I go through just one day without, you know, having to strangle myself, I feel like, oh, you know, this is such a great day. Now, let me go back to talking about my separation and my divorce, for example. You know what it is, you're a young lady, you're in the public eye, you're married to someone who's famous, you both are constantly in the media, and then the entire world realizes that, oh, you're not together anymore. Now, for so many reasons, you feel like you failed a lot of people who are rooting for you to work, right? You also feel like there's a child in the mix, and you failed your child because, you know, you would rather that your child have a family, but then you also understand that being with this person might not be such a good choice because you both have changed. You both want different things. You're no longer on the same page. You also realize that maybe their presence isn't as positive or isn't affecting you positively as, you know, as you would expect. And then you're starting to have a lot of quarrels and fights and banters, and there's a lot of negativity going on, and you realize it would be better for both of you to separate so that you can keep that friendship or at least be civil to one another. And for me, I go back and look at it and say, okay, there was a time in that relationship when I felt like I was being stifled creatively, even as an artist, because I couldn't do the job that I wanted to do, a job that I was passionate about. And I had to deal with quite a lot of issues, insecurity, and a lot of things. And I'm like, okay, if I'm with this person, then I stay with this person because I'm concerned about what people are going to say. Am I going to fulfill my purpose, right? But what something major that happened to me is the fact that, I was struggling to find who I really was, trying to deal with, you know, a lot of changes in my life, getting married, getting separated, having a child, my body changing and all of that. And I came out of that, you know, came out of that relationship angry, frustrated, sad, you know, hurt. But then I also found out that that also gave birth to who this Alex is, you know, gave birth to this new woman. Because then I realized that I could tap into that pain and use it to empower other people. Now, when I started sharing things about, you know, started sharing my thoughts on a number of things connected to life and relationships and reality, people went like, oh, God, Alex, that's me. You know, you said you wrote something on your blog today and that, you know, I could relate with that. You know, and I found out that if I didn't go through some of the things that I went through, I probably wouldn't have the opinion that I have right now. I wouldn't have this brand that I'm building. I wouldn't have the platform that I have right now to be able to share with others. I wouldn't be in a position where I can even help other people mentor people to become positive people. So I realized that the good thing I could take out of this was that, okay, a new Alex was born. I learned to be patient. I learned to be more aware, self-aware, because I realized that a lot of people are going through so many challenges and so frustrated, but they don't even know what the source of their pain is. They don't have a presence of mind. So what the things that I went through, trying to sit myself down and analyze my life and tap into my pain, I realized that I started growing a presence of mind. I became more self-aware, and my writing to express my pain and release my pain became a major form of expression for me, and that expression became a tool which I use to help other people. So when people say, oh, Alex is the queen of naked expression, is pretty much the fact that I would tell it like it is and speak my mind because, you know, I got into that, come to that place where I feel like I'm no longer going to stifle my voice. So I think that's, you know, something really positive that
yeah.
I took away from that particular situation. Yes.
Yes, and I think, thank you for sharing from your personal life, Alex. And, you know, one thing that I heard you say is that you had fear, you know, going through, coming to a decision of divorce, that you had some fear around
yeah.
what other people might think, especially since you are
yeah.
in the public eye. And I think that fears keep us back from doing what we want in life. You know, sometimes it's even a vague fear. We sometimes we're not even sure what we're afraid of, but just this sense of fear of moving forward keeps us back from doing what we really want in life. And so,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to, Claudia, I'd like to hear from you on this as well, because you're a professional woman and, you know, you're a visionary. And so what do you both, ladies, what do you do when you feel that fear rising up? How do you defeat that fearful voice inside?
Well, personally, this is Claudia. Nina, I have learned, just like Alex said, is to be very patient. Because usually when I'm in fear, it's because one part of me wants to do something and the other part of me is not in there. And many times I have found that there is this voice inside of me saying, no, you should be doing this. If successful women do this, or if you are a good mom, you should do that. And then there's this other part of me where it says, no, you shouldn't. So for me, it's that fight between myself and where my fear sometimes lies in not knowing myself or doing whatever is not what I truly, truly want. But then when I quiet myself and I get into compassion and I understand that, well, this is just me being human and the human experience, then everything changes, because then I just laugh about it. Because then I understand that nothing is permanent. And no decision that I make will ever change who I am. And nothing that I start means anything, that if I just start something and then I decide otherwise, so there's no harm in that. You can always change any decision. So those would be my fears when I find myself in that battle. But then knowing that, just like Alex said, that you are, in the way that I say it is, you are already perfect the way you are, exactly the way you are. And then life is just experience. It's just like this playground that we have to experience humanity. So I just release a full fear, because I don't expect anything but the living experience. So I don't know if I make sense.
That's beautiful. I love that. When you said life is just this big playground, it's kind of like, you know, on the playground when you're a kid, you know, you skin your knee, you know, you fall off the bars, you get hit with a ball. and isn't that the way life is? It's like we're going through life and, you know, we skin our knee and then the next day, you know, we hit by a ball. It's like, it's okay to fall down. I mean, it's just part of life. And like Alex was saying, don't try to project this image of perfection. But you're also saying, Claudia, not to avoid situations in which we might make mistakes, that actually might be the biggest mistake of all.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the end, and just to get out of all the labels, I think we have in our lives, we have lived surrounded by labels. And most of those labels, we just have agreed to use them and we have put themselves on top of us. And now we have all these labels that are really so restraining. And the moment that you know that, okay, I'm going to take the label that I'm a mother, you know, the concept that good mothers are like this. So, okay, what happens if I just throw that away? And you throw it and you say, nothing, I'm still me. So what a fantastic way to live just like me and no one else. And so just... most of the times, and I think you both would agree, is that we are in fear of what others would think, but in reality, it's about our own questions about ourselves and our worthiness and how valuable we are.
Mm. Well, I love that because you're saying removing the labels. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Alex, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add something to what she said, you know, and I do agree with everything she said. You know, when she says, you know, it also comes back to, you know, how we feel. I think fear comes, you know, comes from a place of not wanting to be a failure at anything, whether it's at being, whether it's you're in your career or your relationship or work or life in general and your decisions. But the problem is that we're always, because we're so afraid of making a mistake or being seen or perceived as being a failure, we tend to even make more mistakes. And I did say something on, I actually did a video on my Facebook page. I shared on my blog, and I said there's no such word as failure for me. I realized, and when I said that, you know, I'm not saying that the word in itself doesn't exist. I've just said that I don't, I'm not going to give it the credit that it, you know, the credit that a lot of people give it, because I realized that, you know, it's pretty much a circle. And, you know, same way for success, same way for failure. We'll make wrong choices. We're going to make miscalculations. You know, we're going to miscalculate sometimes and, you know, make choices that may not take us to where we're going to, but I think we'll walk away with lessons. So I remember a couple of times when, you know, a few journalists would ask me, do you have any regrets? And I would say, no, I don't have any regrets. And people might just think I'm just giving a cliche answer. But the truth is, I don't have regrets. I only have lessons. If I make a wrong choice or I make a mistake, then I'm probably going to learn something that I, you know, I'm going to take away a lesson from that. I'm going to realize that, okay, I shouldn't make those kind of choices again, or I should try something else, or try something else, really. So I agree that, you know, fear is probably our own way of holding ourselves back from making the wrong choices or failing at something. But if we're not afraid of failure, then we'll, you know, just leave our lives, you know, we'll just leave our lives as free spirits and just live in the moment. And whatever happens, we take it as our lessons and we take it as an experience. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but, yeah, that's it really, pretty much.
And you know, Nina, I want to add to that is that probably the most important thing in my life is the one day that I decided to say yes to myself. You know, like, and this is something everybody that is listening can do, is just whenever you want, you can just decide to say yes to you. Whatever is it that you want to be, just say yes. And then everything changes. But the trick, and it's very beautiful, is that when you say yes to you, and that is, let's suppose you're going to say, yes, I'm going to live the most magnificent, happy life I can live. Okay, now the universe or the world will bring you stuff that will make you challenge that yes. And then the other part, which is incredible, is that every time something comes to your life that doesn't have the appearance of positivity, you can change that immediately. You can change the most dreadful situation and say, no, I'm not going to see it that way. I'm going to choose to see it as a learning experience, just like Alex said, or as a challenge that I'm going to challenge myself, just like you said, Nina, or as something that I don't even care, so let it pass. So, and that's what life is, and that's, but it's your choice. And I love that it's your choice, and no one can make that choice for you.
Yeah, I like what you said, Claudia, about earlier about removing the labels, I think is what you said. You know, removing the I'm supposed to can really free us up to live in a genuine way, in a way that allows us to be true to ourselves, I think. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah. And to experience life.
Yeah.
As
so
that.
What? But you know, one thing that occurs to me, and then we may want to take any callers that we have. But one thing that I did want to discuss, I think it's important to say that forcing ourselves, because we're talking about being more positive, forcing ourselves to try and feel positive when we're in an emotional turmoil, or like for me as a grieving parent, you know, to force myself to try to feel positive when I'm grieving, or you know, when I'm still processing, is psychologically it's known as denial. It's not positive. It's not healthy to do that. And you know, trying to force an optimistic thinking on ourselves or other people isn't helpful. And, you know, sometimes I think the healthiest thing we can do is to simply feel our own pain. And sometimes we need to let other people feel their own pain. Having lost my daughter in 2013, I can tell you that if anybody had said to me, well, Nina, you just need to pick yourself off the ground and move on with your life, I think I would have snapped, you know. It wouldn't have been helpful.
Sure.
Because grief is a long process. And I grieved really hard for a whole year. And I did have people say to me, well, I think you're stuck in grief. I think you're stuck in grief. But fortunately, I had more positive people around me who kept telling me, you know, Nina, it's okay. It's okay to feel the loss. It's okay to take the time you need to process this. But then they'd say, but I know that you're going to make it through this. And so their faith in me, it kind of kept me afloat. And sometimes I think we have to be that positive voice for other people. And it's okay and even healthy not to deny when we're in pain, you know. And I'm not I'm not advocating in the show. I'm not advocating pretense. I'm not advocating pretending that everything's okay when we're dying inside. I think pretending is not positivity. I think pretending is avoiding the truth. And positivity is seeing the truth. And there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just wondered if you guys could talk about, you know, feeling like you're forcing yourself to feel positive. Because I think a lot of people do that.
Okay, can I say something, Nina? You know, just trying to add to what you said. I think this is, you know, going back to the least when we started in the beginning of the show, you said something about, I think you gave us four pointers as to ways to become positive. And I think number three, you talked about support system, having positive people around you. Now, you may not necessarily be a positive person because you're going through a particularly negative situation presently, but having people who are positive around you would help you probably get over it faster than if you had negative people around you just making things worse for you. Now, I would use myself as an example. I do have what I call Ask Alex, hashtag Ask Alex in my blog. And people send me a lot of personal questions. They want me to talk about relationship and love and sex and just reality, things that happen in reality. And they want my opinion. You know, they want straight talk, what I think about this thing. But sometimes, you know, sometimes I see the messages and, oh, my God, there are so many of them. Sometimes I may not even have personally experienced some of the things that they send to me. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? This is crazy. Everyone thinks I have an answer. Like, I'm this perfect person who has all the answers somewhere in my head. Like, you know, and usually most of the things that I share are things that I've experienced firsthand or people around me have experienced and I've watched them live through it or go through it. And sometimes you wake up, you're not in the mood to write a really happy blog post. You're not in the mood to be all sweet and all. You kind of really just want to rant and rave. And, you know, you're worried that people are holding on to you as their life. You know, you have this added responsibility of the fact that people just think, okay, so just because she's always happy, always, you know, she's going to always be happy. But no, you know, you have days where you really don't want to smile at anybody because everything's just going, you know, going up. But then I remember that there are some people who are leaning on you for support, who genuinely want you to help them get over. So sometimes I now push my own challenges and my obstacles, my own problems to the background. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's not about me right now. Let me focus on this person who has it tougher, right? So sometimes I'm looking at it and saying, okay, I'm crying over this. This is a big deal for me. This is a problem for me. But somebody else has a bigger problem than I do right now. And that kind of makes my own just a little you know, smaller or just a little, what's it called? Something I can, you know, I think I can push it to the back, you know, to the background for a while. Now, let me use myself as a, when I was going through separation and divorce and it was so difficult for me and I couldn't understand how I was going to raise a child all by myself, even with trying to be very private about, because I didn't want to share or tell people or talk about it in the media, it was hard for me to respond to anything. People had their own assumption of what they thought was happening. But I did have one, two, three good, you know, good people around me, including my mom, who would always say, you know what, you're so beautiful. You know, you're one of the most beautiful girls I ever. Don't worry, you'll get married again. You're going to find another man who's going to come. You know, he's going to waltz into your life. He's going to fall in love with you and your son, and you would never feel like you've been let, you ever, any man ever left you. You know, there, she used to say things, not, and I don't think that it was to put me in denial, but I think that she also wanted to let me know that they always wanted to remind me that I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I'm stronger than I gave myself credit for, and I was doing great without, you know, putting my own happiness on someone else. So I think just being around them and not wanting to disappoint them kind of pushed me to get off the couch and get off, you know, all of that trouble and just rebuild my life, so to speak. So I think having a good support system does really help. That's my own opinion. So.
Yes, I agree. And I think being in service to others really reminds us quickly that there's always somebody who's in a worse circumstance than we are.
And you know what also, Nina, I was thinking about what Alex just said. And sometimes, and this is what I meant by compassion. You have to have compassion for yourself when you're going through those periods of time or those difficult situations. But many times you will hear things that you're not ready to hear. That, like, oh, be positive or get out of your skin or whatever is it that people are trying, and you're not ready for that, it's okay. Because many times the seed has been planted, even if those words meant nothing to you when they were said. So I think that one of the things that many people, we are afraid of saying the wrong thing or voicing out things that we shouldn't, because we think we're going to devastate someone else or we are going to say the wrong thing. And the truly reality is that when you express yourself, just like Alex was doing and what she does, is that those words travel and eventually they will heal. And the person that heard those voices will come to grasp, and she will most probably say, oh, now I know what Nina meant by this. And the moment she was not ready to listen to that, it's okay. Just have compassion for yourself. It's okay when you're going through dark nights. I think we even need it. Sometimes when I'm depressed and or angry or something, I really allow myself to go as deep as I can. Because I like that. I even enjoy those days. And I know enjoy can be a hard or a word that doesn't relate to that, but I do. I say, okay, I'm in grief. This really is hurting me, or this is really is making me so mad. So I just let it go as deep or as strong as I can, in knowing that it will not change who I am. And then I can just let it go out and then transform it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Claudia, we're kind of coming to the end of our time here, and I just wonder if there's any callers that we can take before we go today.
Actually, we only have a 503 number, but she's not asking for a question. If she does, she has to press number one. So if she does, I will put her through. If she presses number one, if she wants to share something, this 503 number. So Nina, can you just a little bit about your book? And I would love if you mention your previous book, Never Enough, and because I loved when I read about it. Can you tell us a little bit about that book, too?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So you can find it on Amazon.com. Just look up my name, Nina Bingham. And I did write a recovery workbook. It's a do-it-yourself workbook for people who are dealing with addictions, any kind of addiction, any kind of eating disorder, or if you have, you know, you're dealing with obsessive thinking, like in the case of OCD. I wrote a do-it-yourself workbook where you actually step yourself through a recovery program in this workbook. It's a great first step for people who would like to do a little work on their own, you know, at home. I think sometimes people can't get to counselors, you know, for where they live. Maybe one isn't available, or, you know, sometimes they don't have the health insurance coverage that provides a counselor. So it's a nice first step for people who, for whatever reason, are not either ready for counseling or who can't access a counselor. And so that's called Never Enough, a Recovery Workbook.
So before we leave, we have 3 more minutes for the show, Dwayne. Is there anything that you or Alex wants to share with our audience before we leave?
How about you, Alex?
I'm just going to say something, you know, nothing to – I was going to talk about, you know, just try to positive thinking, or, you know, just the power of positive thinking. I think that sometimes, you know, it's very important that we understand that whatever we think determines what we believe, and what we believe determines how we feel, right? And, you know, the way we, you know, the way we feel, or the way, you know, the things we believe actually influences the way we behave or the way we act, and the way we act affects our results. So I would like to say, if you think positively, then you have positive results. If you think negatively, you're going to have negative results. You know, if you're going to an examination feeling like you've already failed, then you would not be inspired or motivated to even want to do the extra work that you need to do to pass. So if you feel like you're going into a career and you don't think it's going to work, then the tendency for it to fail, you know, is pretty much, you know, there's a high chance that you're going to fail. So for me, I would just say that being positive is pretty, it's really only takes you really tapping into yourself and realizing what it is that you want your end result to be. Do you want your end result to be positive? Do you feel like you want to live an okay life? There are a lot of people who are happy. They're not happy because their circumstances are any better than ours. They're just happy because their views about life, or about life, is totally different from ours, because they see life as a journey, you know, and they see it as a learning process, as a journey, as opposed to seeing it as so much of a challenge. So that's just what I was going to add to the show.
Beautiful. And I guess I would just say, in addition to that, is so being a positive force isn't about pretending. It isn't about avoiding the pain that life brings. It's really being a force for good requires us to embrace all of life, the good and the bad, the painful and the pleasant. But to really try to focus, it's a matter of focus, what you were saying, Alex, about thinking, the way, you know, controlling our thoughts and focusing on that glass half full whenever we can.
Yeah.
And I think if we daily practice positiveness, then, you know, if we make it a daily practice, we're going to become healthier and happier, and I think find that other people are actually drawn to us, drawn to be around us. So I think that power of positivity is always within us. It's not in our circumstance. It's within us.
Absolutely. Yeah. First of all, let me just say thank you. Thank you guys for having me on the show. I know we're probably going to go up very soon, but I just wanted to thank you. It was really, it's pretty much an honor just being on the show with you, with both you and Nina and Claudia. Thank you, Bright. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Alex. And thank you, Claudia, for both your wisdom and positivity today, just being the positive powerhouses that you guys are.
Well, thank you also, Nina, for bringing this type of shows to the internet. And we'll just plant a seed, and we will just wait and see the trees that are going to be growing out for this. So you all have a very, very happy week, and I wish you all that is good.
Thank you.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.